Chris Johnson, I'm going to apologize in advance for doing this, but I think you will, you will take it in the spirit with which I and Michael Tracos of Post Media delivered it. A Tracos tweet? I'm confused. I thought Spezza wanted to win a cup. I'm sorry.
But I'm bum.
Mic drop. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet joins us on Writer's Block. So I am apologizing for introing you by talking about someone else's tweet. But I just thought, you know, given, well, I've been holding back on any sort of Leafs references, et cetera, but I thought it was timely. Jason Spezza agreeing to a 1-year deal. That's no surprise, is it? I mean, I thought Jason Spezza was, he was one of the Leafs players that, to me, I saw more out of him almost from day one to the end of the season than any other player in that team. You know, he delivered more than what I expected, I guess is how I'll put it. Just shut up and move on. I'll let you answer that.
Well, certainly it was the easiest decision of the offseason. I'm with you that there wouldn't be much time needed to hammer out a contract or figure out whether this was the right thing to do, provided that Jason Spezza himself, you know, was comfortable continuing his career. In fact, he did say as much when they had their interview a couple of days after the Game 7 loss. But, you know, I'm with you. I mean, this is the beauty, I guess, of hanging around and playing as long as Jason Spezza has and signing league minimum contracts is no one expects too much. Mm-hmm. And even if next year, and we hope this doesn't happen, we're not trying to manifest it in the universe, but if he falls off or, you know, for whatever reason, he's not able to perform the way he has in the past, you know, that this would still not be a poor signing. There's lots of ways to account for that on the cap, and it really won't hurt them. I think what will hurt them is that, you know, he was one of the players this year that far exceeded by production what he was paid. He was giving them value on his contract, and, you know, I'm sure everyone's hoping that plays out again from the Leafs side of things and obviously for Spezza himself.
Yes. Now, my guess, I may be wrong, and my guess is that this is not the contract negotiation or the car or free agent situation that we will be talking about probably by tomorrow. do the Zach Hyman math for me, CJ.
Well, here's the math. You have a player that's 29 years old, that's coming off his two best statistical seasons in the NHL, and I think can project into a marketplace where he's probably going to sign a 6-year contract at minimum. You know, it could be 7 somewhere else. I can't say that won't happen. And I think it's going to come in at $5.5 to $6 million on that deal as a free agent. And so you're looking at somewhere with my rough math between say 30 to 36 million on a secure deal somewhere else. And I think the Leafs for a whole host of reasons, you know, predominantly the cap, it's not about undervaluing or misvaluing or not appreciating what Zach Hyman has done. But I just think that sets up a tough spot for them. You know, they probably would want to pay him somewhere around $4.5 million if you could make that work. And if, let's say, we'll give him the same 6-year term for the purpose of the exercise, that takes you to $28 million. I mean, for Zach Hyman, the math could be anywhere from $8 to $10 million total on the contract, the difference between what I think the Leafs can reasonably pay him and what he might earn in free agency on the open market. And I just think at this stage of his career, you know, after not cashing in prior to this in relative terms to what NHL players are paid, I just think it's going to be too difficult to bridge that gap. Now, there's things that could happen between now and free agency that haven't happened. Maybe the Leafs make another trade or things open up in a way on their cap picture. But without that, I just think that you're at this weird spot where in the pre-cap world, probably Zach Hyman's contract extension in Toronto was long since signed. Mm-hmm. But you have to make these difficult decisions in a cap environment. And, you know, where it's trending right now, of course, is that he won't be back with the Leafs.
Well, especially a flat cap environment, right? Like if the cap is going to accelerate over the next 2 or 3 years, there might be a way to do this. But the numbers you just quoted there, CJ, like that's beyond the hometown discount, right? He'd be nuts to do that.
Well, and he gave them a hometown discount in some ways on his last deal. He signed a 4-year contract out of entry level. And, you know, one of the reasons the Leafs have been able to make decisions with other players is that, you know, he was making a little bit more than $2 million on the cap and providing, again, more value for that. And, you know, it's just about an awareness of where you're at in your career. Jason Spezza, after making $90 million career, he can, you know, give hometown discounts and live in Toronto and chase a cup here. You know, someone like Zach Hyman, I think, just has to, you know, recognize that this is going to be his best chance to, to hit a big home run as you know, an NHL player financially. And, you know, I don't think anyone should begrudge him for choosing that. I mean, I'm sure it's not the easiest decision in some ways, you know, given that he's a local guy and that I believe he's left playing for the Leafs. But, you know, I just think this is the business, unfortunately, getting in the way of, you know, some of those other things that we tend to talk about.
So CJ, let's assume that Zach Hyman does move on, and everything you said, and I think we all echo everything you said. I you know, he certainly deserves to. I mean, you earn free agency, and when you earn, and in his case, he's a guy who has really accent on the earned. I mean, it's not like his career was, from the get go was carved out that he was going to make this much money. But having said that, if Zach Hyman isn't with the Leafs, I don't know if it's a type of thing. It's not like losing a goaltender, then you say, well, we go out and get a goaltender to replace the goaltender. Or you lose a right-hand shooting defenseman. Well, we go out and do that to maintain balance. How do you go about addressing filling the need that will be created by Zach Hyman going? Like, what is the thing the Leafs will have to do to fill that gap?
Well, I think because it sets up some interesting philosophical questions for them in the offseason. Like, I don't think it's a matter of trying to sign one player that does all the things Zach Hyman did, right? I mean, what was so valuable about him is he played huge minutes at 5-on-5. He was, you know, one of their top penalty-killing forwards and even, you know, got some role in the second power play unit, you know, played with their best players, all those types of things. You know, if you're going to find exactly that type of guy, you're probably paying him somewhere in the neighborhood of what you'd have to pay Zach to stay. So, you know, I think what it does is it allows them maybe to move towards, you know, I doubt that this decision's even made, but perhaps you can look for a different kind of balance in your lineup. Maybe it's a somewhat weaker third player on the top line if you keep Matthews and Marner together. You know, cheaper certainly in terms of your cap allocation there. You know, it might allow them to sign two players. And you know, achieve maybe a little bit better balance through the lineup. I think what it does, it gives them more flexibility heading into this offseason than they would have, obviously, if they were signing him to, say, a $5 million contract. You know, their hands would be tied pretty good when you consider they still have to find another goaltender to play with Jack Campbell and some other depth forwards, depending on the decisions they make with veterans there. And so, you know, I think, you know, as we look to this summer, it's entirely plausible to me that, you know, Alex Kerfoot's the player they lose in expansion to Seattle. You know, I don't think that's 100% decided by any means, but, you know, if you look at their protection issues, that is a logical outcome. And then if you lose the money Zach Hyman's paid, I mean, you've got to find a bunch of forwards, but, you know, you're going to have $14 or $15 million to do your shopping. And, you know, they've got six NHL defensemen signed already for next year. So, you know, I think that this will be part of kind of a wider retool. It's not just filling that specific need. And, you know, they're going to have to, this is the challenge of, as long as you're keeping those four top players paid what they're paid in a flat cap environment, is I think almost every off season, you know, you're going to be trying to fill four or five spots, doing it creatively and cheaply and as effectively as possible.
Yeah. Now the conundrum though, again, for, especially, you know, if you're a Leaf fan, the question you're going to ask is, okay, so then how do we get better? Cause we have to be better. Like, they were really good during the regular season in the weird hothouse conditions in which they played, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, you lose a guy like Hyman, who's a valuable piece and plays a role that, you know, different than the other guys we're talking about, you know, the big four. And, you know, you get a full season if Jack Campbell's healthy for a full year and he settles in and plays as well as he can play. If Rasmus Sandin continues to evolve, you know, there are ways, you know, where you can see individual components. But the tough part for me, looking at a distance towards next fall, CJ, is, you know, tell me how they're going to be better.
Well, there's not an obvious answer there. You know, I think that, you know, perhaps the second goaltender they get could, you know, have us saying, wow, they improved at that position, you know, from where they were when last they played. I think you're counting still on improvement from Auston Matthews and Mitch Marner in particular, probably now entering truly what's, you know, been the prime of especially offensive players' careers, early to mid 20s. So you're hoping those guys are a bit better. And I think, you know, around the margins is where they're going to look for some modest improvement. Otherwise, I mean, this team still won the division quite handily this year. We know what happened in the playoffs. We don't have to sort of relitigate that or go through why that happened. But I do think that probably the belief is they were pretty good and they've just got to shift around the mix. And you know, I would think you'll see maybe a little bit less veteran element with their depth players. I'm not sure you need a Simmons and a Thornton and a Spezza. We know Jason's back, but you know, there's probably room there to try out some say 25, 26 year old free agents, you know, who have fallen through the cracks elsewhere and look to find, you know, players that can be as effective as Zach Hyman that just haven't earned that reputation yet in the NHL. And it's a huge task. I grant you this. It's not a sure thing. It's not about going necessarily and wooing the top name free agent. You know, I think in some ways that's the easy thing to do. If you're an organization like the Leafs, I think really what they're going to be aiming to do is improving incrementally in small ways and have faith and trust that their top players are going to be difference makers for them next season.
CJ, did you see anything in game one of the Habs-Vegas series? Game two goes tonight, by the way. Did you see anything in game one of that series on the part of the Canadians that gives you any level of comfort at all in thinking that, you know, that they've got an answer to the Vegas Golden Knights? Because, you know, Brunt and I talked about this, Freege as well, and I think anybody who watched the game, I mean, I thought Montreal played probably as well as Montreal could play, and they got great goaltending. They're not on the same level as Vegas is. Did you see anything that would give you any reason to think this could be a particularly long series?
Maybe the start of the game. Mm-hmm. You know, the way they came out, the way they created some havoc around Marc-Andre Fleury, you know, you had Perry and Gallagher and the likes, you know, doing what they do best. But, you know, there might be a path through that kind of play if you're Montreal and you can get a lead in the game to extend this out and get in a position potentially to win the series. But, I mean, I think I reached the same conclusions or same thoughts that you guys did, that, you know, they were playing uphill, you know, for most of that game after what was a pretty strong start. And, you know, it's hard to see them finding their way through, but I didn't have them playing now, I'll tell you that much. That was a surprise to me that they've come this far, and I thought we, you know, the fact that they played seven straight games where they didn't trail, you know, there's a lot of confidence that's built through doing that. And so tonight's game, I think, is larger than just about, well, obviously 1-1's better than being down 0-2, but, you know, if they can maybe plant some seeds of doubt, I think they have to do it pretty quickly in the series, or it could get away from them in a hurry. But, you know, I think that they're a team that's built to win games 2-1, which tends to be what you see a lot of in the playoffs. And quite honestly, Vegas, you know, if they have a bit of a weakness, is they don't have as many elite finishers as some of the other top teams in the league. You know, we saw the goals dry up on them in the Western Conference Final last year. And so I think the path to success for Montreal in this series is sort of frustrating Vegas' shooters, getting ahead in the game, making it really hard for Vegas to play. And with Carey Price, I'm not going to say they have no chance. It's just, you know, it's clear that, you know, I think that they've earned their underdog status in this series heading in, and based on what we saw, you know, two nights ago.